May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts always be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. O children of Zion, be glad and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given the early rain for your vindication. He has poured down for you abundant rain, the early rain and the later rain as before. The threshing floors shall be full of grain. The vats shall overflow with wine and oil. Do not look at your calendars. It is not Thanksgiving. My sermon is going to focus on a lot about Thanksgiving a month early. One of the things we need to remember about the Thanksgiving that we celebrate, this was the story of some people who were escaping persecution in England. They actually were escaping persecution by what was our church at the time, the Church of England. So it is kind of ironic that we in the Anglican Church, Episcopal Church, celebrate the Puritans who were actually rebels against the Church of England. They come to the Americas technically as illegal immigrants because the Church of England and the English crown had told them, no, we don't want any Puritans coming to the Americas. And so they actually snuck onto the Mayflower and sneaked into the Americas. The group that did have a charter to settle in the New England colonies, to actually start that colony, their charter was actually several miles south of Plymouth Rock. And so they settled in an area they didn't have a legal charter for. And so they were a rebellious group. That first few years that they came here was rough. Oh, we always tell the story. They settled on Plymouth Rock. The Native Americans came out, and they had a big feast. Oh, no. First thing they had to do is there were no houses, and they had no land. They had no place to plant crops. They were taking over a new land with new crops and a new climate, and they did not know how to deal with it. They were lost. And those first years were tough. Many people died freezing to death and starving. Very, very rough years. The story of Thanksgiving skips over all of that. And we celebrate a great harvest. They have finally got houses that they can live in. They have finally figured out how to deal with the climate of northern New England and how to actually plant crops that will be successful. They have actually figured out what of the native wildlife is easily hunted and collected and stored and prepared. They finally figured it out. And they feel like they have gone through a rough, dark, painful time, which it was, and come out into now finally the abundance of this new land. God had blessed them. And we remember that in our celebrations of Thanksgiving. We have it now in the fall. The harvests have been brought in. Now, most of us are not working in an agricultural environment. We have a yearly, a monthly harvest, or sometimes a biweekly or even weekly harvest when we get a paycheck. That's our idea of bringing in the green. But in an agricultural economy, that harvest came once a year, and you brought in everything you could and preserved whatever you could because you knew the next few months were going to be rough. It was going to be cold. It was going to be dark. There might be some hunting, but a lot of animals have either migrated or gone into hibernation. You needed to prepare a storehouse. And the pilgrims had come, and they had their storehouses full. And they did what is rightful to do when your storehouses are full. They said, oh, this isn't ours. This is God's. Yes, God has given us everything we have. We have cooperated with God. We have put our own backbones, our own sweat, our own time, our own energy into it. Yes, we have invested some of ourselves, but ultimately, it all comes from God. Think about that for a moment. I hear people all the time say, well, I've worked hard for my money. Yeah, you have. Using the intellect that God gave you, the life that God gave you, the family that God gave you, the government and the nation that other humans have worked together with their God-given gifts, on an earth that God gave us, blessed by a son that God gave us. Imagine if everything was God, where would our work be? There wouldn't be any. We wouldn't be here. And so keeping in mind that, yes, we may now have an abundance. And some of us look at our bank accounts, and we look at that number at the bottom, and we go, yeah, abundance? Yeah, but do you have a bank account? Think about that for a moment. We may look at the bottom line and go, but we've got a bank account. Oh, but I've got a small house. Yeah, you've got a house. I worked hard for that house with God's gifts. It all comes from God. And the season of Thanksgiving, when we talk about a season of Christmas, why can't we talk about a season of Thanksgiving? The season of Thanksgiving reminds us that as we have brought in our bounty, and although, yes, like I said, we don't do it once a year, we bring our bounty in every month, every week, every 2 weeks, depending on what kind of system you're on. We bring that bounty in, we place it into our storehouses, into our banks, but we have to thank God for it. We have to recognize that it is our work with God that makes it possible. So there comes a responsibility with that, and you're like, oh boy, here it comes. We need to give back to God. We need to say, yes, you have given me all of this. You have blessed me abundantly. And abundant is a relative term. You have blessed us. Now I'm going to bless you back. There is a tradition within Christianity, goes back to the Jewish tradition, called the tithe. 10%. And here's the part that's scary. In the Jewish tradition, it wasn't the 10% of your excess. It wasn't the 10% that you are willing to give up out of your charity. It was the 10% of the first fruits. When it was harvested in, when you brought in the wheat, you took 10% of your crop, you took it to the temple, you offered it to God. When you harvested your wine, you took 10% of your wine, you took it to the temple, you offered it to God. When you gathered in the olives and pressed the olives for oil and brought out the olive oil, 10% of that, the very first 10%, went to God. Because it recognized that what you started with, the raw materials that you had, that yes, you sweated over, you earned the crop, but what you started with came from God. And so the first part that you get goes to God. Now again, we're not an agricultural economy. We don't bring in our tomatoes and then take 10% of the tomatoes and throw them at the minister if you don't like his sermon. I mean, no, 10% of your tomatoes and bring them to church, even though that wouldn't be a bad thing to do. You know, when we had our garden out here, some of the crop from the garden went to other people. They were the first fruits given away. That wouldn't be a bad thing, but we do get our paychecks. Most of us in here either get a paycheck each month, each week, every 2 weeks, whatever. Some of us are on government assistance. We get that paycheck every couple weeks, every month. Do we take the first fruits of that? Do we recognize that that is from God? And that, yes, maybe we have worked on it. Maybe we have earned it. But we're using God's raw materials and taken the first cut of that and brought it into the church and laid it in the basin? 10%. Ouch. I don't know about you. I've got to be honest. And I'm going to reveal a little bit more of my... There are three things that you never really share in public. You never share your bank account. You never share the status of your underwear. And you never share your health information that's too personal. And so I'm going to share a little bit of my finances. I'm not doing 10%. I've got to be honest. I think at my last count, I was somewhere between 4 and 5. So I'm kind of moving toward that 10%. And we're getting into the season that is the stewardship season. And yes, this is the stewardship sermon, if you haven't figured that out yet. We're going to be approaching the members of St. John's and saying, can you make a pledge to St. John's from the first fruits of your hard-earned work? Yes, the first fruits that you have sweated over, that you have worried over, that you have worked with what God has given you as raw material and produced an abundant, relative for some of us, an abundant collection. And can you just cut off some of that right at the beginning and say, this is dedicated to God. I got it from God. I started from God. I worked on it. With gifts that God has given me, I am now giving it back and saying, here, God, I'm going to invest this in your kingdom, in your church, and in a church that tries to do a lot. Yeah, how many of us are here today? Not very many. But what do we do each week? We house an Al-Anon group, the only Al-Anon group in Corbin. We provide space for them. Imagine if St. John's weren't here. Yeah, they might meet somewhere else, but maybe they wouldn't. Because you know why that group formed? Oh, St. John's hosted a forum on dependency issues. Huh, we made an impact. Every month, at least 5 households come to St. John's, and out of what we collect in the offering, we provide a $20 gift card that they can use for groceries, that they can use for food, for medicines, they can use for gasoline. For those 5 families, we're making a small difference. It's helping. Imagine if St. John's weren't here, where would they go? Every week we try to gather in, and notice my operative word, try, a basket of canned goods. And we do fill this canned goods at least once a month. It gets full. And we take it over to Corbin Presbyterian, and you cannot, I wish other people here, I know Donna has taken it over. Donna, how thankful are they?
They're tremendously thankful.
Yeah. And so this makes a difference. Yeah, it is one basket of canned goods, but think about the number of families that can make the difference for. And if St. John's weren't here, where would it be? And that's just the difference we're making in the larger community. What about in your life? Think about it. How important is St. John's to you? Where would you go? Where would your church home be? What would your community look like? What would your life look like without St. John's? And that's why supporting it, giving back, taking off those first fruits and giving it back to the church and saying, look, I'm investing in the ministry of St. John's so that we can reach out to the community, we can serve our own needs, and we can continue being a vital presence here in southeastern Kentucky. It's so important. Now, 10%. I challenge you. Look at how much you are giving. Most of us can calculate how much it is. Like I said, I can figure it out. I got the check stubs. I can calculate it all up. If you're in question, ask Gaynell. She can probably give you a report saying, this is what you gave up to this point. And here she's like, oh no, more work. I look at the deer in headlights look on Gaynell's face. But what have you done? What I've been trying to do, I know I'm not at 10%. Every year when I do my pledge, I try to up it 10%. That's not too bad. Think about it. Look at what you've got. Can I up it 10%? And then, you know, what I did last, actually it was 2 years ago, and we were really saying, okay, we've got to find a way to pay Rebecca's salary. I looked at my 10% and I go, I can beat 10%. I actually upped it 50%. And I realized, wait a second, that 50% jump really wasn't that much. It really didn't hurt that much. Gee, maybe I could do that again this year. But look at what you're doing. See if you can up it just a little bit, you know? Well, and then we get back to the other issue that shows up in the gospel. How do you feel about that? And I'm sitting here going, sometimes I think, oh, gee, I'm going to preach the sermon on tithing, and maybe I'm going to sit here and pat myself on the back a little too much. Gee, look at all the good that I'm doing by giving to St. John's. And sometimes we can do that. But look at our two main characters in the gospel reading today. There is the one that sat there and says, oh, I give my 10%. Look how good I am. Look how wonderful I am. I'm doing my part. And the other person said, I need God's mercy. I need God's gifts. He doesn't pat himself on the back for what he does do right. He recognizes his relationship with God and that it is a relationship of dependence. It is a relationship where God has given him everything and there are times he has squandered it. Instead of sitting there patting ourselves on the back, being so proud of, oh yeah, I do this, I do that, I'm involved here, I do this. Say, I'm the unworthy servant. God has given me everything. God has blessed me with everything. And I really haven't deserved it. In fact, there have been times I've wasted it. So when I give what I do give, it's not because I'm so great. I'm giving because God is so great. And the gifts I have received, I have not deserved. God gave them to me because God loves me. And God loves Corbin. And God loves the earth. We have been blessed with these things. And so it's not because we are so great. It's because we are so dependent that we give. And if we approach God with that and approach giving with the idea that, yes, I did work at this, but I cooperated with what God has given me, then that giving takes a totally different perspective. It becomes a gift of thanksgiving. So during this next month, as we move toward Thanksgiving, try to make it a season of thanksgiving. There is a habit that I've seen on Facebook that usually starts around this time. They call it like the 30 or 31 days of Thanksgiving, where they say every day, post something on Facebook for which you are thankful. Now, I am not a big fan of hokey things like that. I normally don't do them. Because also when we do things like that, are we not like the Pharisee standing there going, look how great I am and how thankful I am. You know, I think it kind of treads on that just a little bit. But can't you take every day for the next 30 days and say, I am thankful for this? Maybe keep a gratitude journal, writing down what you have been blessed with each day. Maybe if you do want to share that, post it on Facebook. Yeah, go right ahead. It is a little hokey. It is a little tooting your own horn a little bit at times. But always with the idea that this is what God has blessed me with. And then as we approach the stewardship in collection, which I'd have to check with Steve, with Jeff, name blank. I'd have to check with Jeff to see exactly what the Sunday is. We're going to ask that you bring the envelopes back with your pledge. Think about what you have been giving. And can you up it, just a hair, you know, because think about what we are doing now with the resources we have now, and think about what we can be doing. Every month, I get phone calls and people who stop here, and Jeff gets them too whenever he's here. People come wanting help. After the five cards are gone, guess what we have to say? Sorry. Imagine if we could increase, instead of five cards, 10 cards. Instead of $20, $25. But we can only do things like that with the support of the members of St. John's. So think about that a little bit. Let that be part of your prayer practice for the next month. Let it be a season of thanksgiving. Amen.